This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hscc.org.
Listen to remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is my last opportunity to speak to you guys for a while. As some of you know, Monday I will embark for Tibet with a couple of other Sangha members. What I think promises to be a somewhat strenuous undertaking. So. A couple of people asked me, so what are we supposed to do if you don't come back? And I said, it's not a problem. I said, take care of the Sangha and one another. And then if you want someone else to practice with you in the role of, guide or what have you, just go ask my teacher at Green Gulch Farm, Reverend Anderson, about it. And all will be well. So please don't worry. I'm actually not worried. I must say, I used to worry a lot about death. Since we don't really know anything about it, really, when you get right down to it, most of our concerns about death are sort of symbolic, It represents to us a kind of ultimate abandonment of our heroic attempts to establish our personhood as supreme in the universe. We call this the self. Right? So death is perceived, of course, as this threat to the continuity of the self, and rightly so. But I think Buddha taught pretty effectively that while that's true, it's nothing to worry about. So, in recent years, I've found I don't worry about it very much anymore. Instead, I kind of shift of perspective. I find myself asking quite a bit a question that my teacher presented as a worthwhile question. Which is this, meaning what I'm doing at the moment at any given time, is this a good use of the light? And of course, kind of on the surface that may sound puzzling. It's like, well, wait a minute, what is the light? How can we answer that question if we don't know what the light is? And I would suggest that you only can answer that question if you don't know what the light is, because the light is not an object of knowledge. There's, of course, the very famous story attributed to Master Yun Mun, who told his fellow practitioners one day, or maybe we say he reminded them, that everybody has a light. said, if you go looking for it, you can't see it. And then he said, what is everybody's light? And in his day, he said, it's the kitchen pantry, the main gate. And we might as well say the front steps, the back bathroom. That is everybody's light. This is simply another way of expressing what other Buddhists, some other bunches of Buddhists, have said. This whole thing that we call the universe is mind. Some people have tried to equate that with a trend in Western philosophy called idealism, but I don't think that's quite right somehow. What perhaps little I understand of Western idealism and everybody's light don't seem to meet very well. But this light that the ancients have talked about is what illuminates the whole world. And the light that shines on everything and brings it into view. And of course, it's not separable from being. But the more you talk about it, the more it starts to get kind of abstract. And so Master Yunnan, I think quite effectively, interrupted that tendency by saying the front steps, the back bathroom. So everybody has a light that if you look for it, you can't see it. And it is inseparable from what's happening right now. And since the light can be put to all manner of uses, maybe it's a pretty good question to ask, is this a good use of the light? I find I tend to ask myself that a lot if I'm watching television. I think, is this a good use of the light? Since at some point it becomes obvious that the light is indispensable for watching Breaking Bad, for instance. Although, I must say, it doesn't seem as though most of the characters in Breaking Bad understand that. And if they did, they might be behaving differently and perhaps breaking less bad. And by understanding, again, I don't mean that they have an intellectual estimation that they're comfortable with. I mean the understanding that you understand with your tummy. A kind of understanding that will brook no interference from thinking. So somebody might say, whoa, wait, isn't thinking the light? I say, well, of course it is. One of the cool things that the light can do is, like our temple dog, it can chase its tail, which is not that helpful, actually. So trying to use the light to figure out the light is a little bit like our dog Toast chasing its tail. It's like, you can do that if you want, but it's not that helpful. So instead, we have this practice of reminding ourselves about the light, where we just sit. We sit as the light, without hunting for it, or trying to figure it out, or make bargains with it. For instance, light, if you will reveal yourself to me in a fun way, then I will such and such. I promise to become a great bodhisattva. If, you know. But of course, the great bodhisattvas do not set any such preconditions. So, this expedition to the roof of the world, so-called, presents itself as an occasion for the use of the light, and I will be asking myself, is this a good use of the light? And I think it's often enough just to ask the question. You don't necessarily have to have some answer like, oh yes, yes, this is a great use of the light. You might at times think, oh well, no, this isn't such a good use. And we're in our study hour, we're reading the great sutra of the teaching of Vimalakirti, and it says, among other things, for the sake of bringing beings to maturity, Vimalakirti would hang out in brothels and, what does it say, casinos and cabarets. Very interesting choice of modern words. Brothels, casinos, and cabarets. And this was a good use of the light, I think. But to enter such places and then simply neglect the light is maybe not so good. Maybe not. So what effect on our lives does being mindful of the light have? Well, you should try and see. Occasionally turn your mind gently towards the light and see what am I doing and what shall I do now? And is this a good use of the light? Bear in mind, the light is irretrievably yours. So you don't have to worry about, do I got it or do I not got it? Yunmen says, all beings have a light. And I don't know what the Chinese says, but it might just as well have been translated, all beings are light. And such an understanding really does make a difference. Subtle and kind of ever-moving, but it makes a difference. So, if I should not return from this expedition, if you will just remember and put into practice that much, all will be well. Next time you practice sitting, as we did this morning, it was amazing how quiet and settled you all were. It was a sometimes find it hard to sit still, so sometimes it's helpful if you're with a bunch of other people who are sitting still to kind of support that. And I'm always reminding us, the stillness is not imposed from outside. You're letting it out from within you. Because otherwise it can feel like someone's making you sit still, which is all too reminiscent of first grade and Sister Mary Charlene, which, wasn't that fun. So please take care of each other and this practice, and as we'll say in a ceremony in a little while, this practice will go on endlessly. So we try to have events, special events, on Saturday so that the most people can participate. We didn't always do that, so like if such and such a day during the week were such and such a special event day, we'd have like a ceremony at 7 in the morning and nobody would be here except the residents, and that wasn't so much fun. So now we do everything on Saturday, and as a result sometimes we wind up with several things to do. So today we're going to do our abbreviated full moon ceremony. I apologize for that. It's like basically a third of the full one, but that does not mean it's only 33% as effective. Okay, just wholeheartedly we'll participate in the abbreviated ceremony, and it will be just as powerful. And then we're going to have the annual memorial for our founding teacher, Isan Dorsey, who died on this day, right? The 6th of September in 1990, a long time ago, and yet kind of seems like not so long ago. I was living in the East Bay at the time with my then partner. I was trying to remember who called me and told me, and I can't recall now. Somebody called me and said that Isan had died, and I can't remember who it was. Anyway, he was someone who didn't worry about the light. He just, that was his practice. Everybody has a light was his practice. And so we will thank him for that today. Do you have any questions or comments? Please feel free. Yes.
Going back to our study hour, I'd say I'm envious that Shariputra got to see a Buddha field. Mm-hmm. I would love for someone to touch their toe and show me a bedazzled mm-hmm. place with lion thrones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes that's a question about the light.
Yes, you mean you sometimes doubt?
Maybe.
That there's a light?
Maybe. Hmm. Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, again, that's okay as long as we don't make it a problem, because doubting is the light. So that's okay. But if that turns us into a chale-tasting kind of worry, that's not so useful. So we can just abandon that. And sitting practice reminds us again and again to abandon any hint of tail chasing, and just sit down, right? And forget. I'm not referring to the other kinds of tail chasing that may go on around here. The wheel spinning kind of tail chasing is not that helpful. So it's okay if we understand that doubting is just the light. But worrying about doubting, that's kind of adding a head on top of our head, as they say. So Do you feel okay about abandoning that when it comes up?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, not always. Sometimes the first kind of tail chase.
Yes. Yes. Me too.
And then they kind of exhaust and let that go too. Yeah, eventually. Mm-hmm. There can be a few days of that.
Yeah.
And then feel sort of angry and had and scammed or something.
But
then I realize, oh, not so much maybe, or I don't know, or I don't have anything better to do with myself, so why not just continue this path?
Well, you know, there's an awful lot of karmic momentum behind doubt and so forth, and spinning of wheels and chasing of tails. And so if we understand, and sitting is a great teacher of this, that it's okay just to let that karmic energy spend itself without doing anything with it or about it, that that's okay. And according to Buddha, there's not much choice anyway. Karmic energy is like other forms of energy. It must move. So better let it just expend itself like a summer storm or something. Just let it go. And return again and again to the practice that Isan introduced a lot of people to, just everybody's light. And the more we let our energy be absorbed by that practice, the deeper our trust of the light becomes. Yes?
I've been reading a book of one of several conferences of the Dalai Lama with Western neuroscientists and so on, in which basically what he calls this luminescent thread of light and comes up a lot. And it led me to think in a broader way that I don't recall for the longest or ever having a Tibetan lama or teacher of some kind, since they seem to have a patent somehow on higher developments and things like that. Would it ever be possible to have a Tibetan lecture?
Sure. We not so long ago we had Venerable Rabina here, and that was delightful. And we can, the thing is, I don't know so many, so I don't have a contact.
Ms. Jennifer.
But anyone who has such contact and would like to invite someone, that would be great.
I have a llama's phone number in my wallet right now.
You have what?
I have a llama's phone number in my wallet.
Okay. So let's do that, by all means. And, you know, the more the broader our appreciation of Dharma is, the deeper it can go, I think. So by all means, let's do that.
And Sister Jennifer is an expert in this field of resources too.
Yes.
Are you not? Oh, well, you're the next best thing. Man.
Yeah, yeah, we'll settle.
We also have a blue and red paint show.
That's true. We are sitting in what was originally a shrine room for the Karmakagyu lineage, Chogyam Trungpa's, one of his Dharma Dhatus right here in this very room. So it's very close. There's only one layer of paint separating us. So by all means, let's do that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Every time you bring up the image of the dog chasing its tail, I just think, how wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's bad and it's this, like, but it makes me laugh. You know, you see a puppy chasing its tail.
Yes.
It's,
it does make me laugh too, you know. But it gets exhausting for the dog after a while. You can tell.
And then you get to rest. It's a new, like you said, the karmic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, thank you so much for bringing up the light. It's like a few days, mornings ago, I hadn't had a dream about Isan in a really long time. And it seemed to go on and on. Maybe it was very short, but he was just wandering around. And the quality that I took away from the dream when I wrote it down later was he just seemed to be emitting light. Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing anything special. Mm-hmm. He was like fixing this and the garden and doing this, and I think he was
sewing.
Yeah, but I think he was sick, or he had
mm-hmm.
AIDS,
yeah.
But he wasn't pressed down by it. He was like, "What am I going to do?"
Yeah.
Do?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's everybody's light, and that was his, one of his great gifts
yeah.
to us. Well, and so we have not one but two cakes to feed you with, but only after our ceremony. So next we're going to go right into the full moon, I think, and then right after that into the Isan Memorial. And it won't take too very long, so it'd be great if you can all stay with us. Please carry on, and I hope to see you when I return. Assuming. Thank you very much.
May our intention be